Amen. I want to encourage you tonight as we go into the text to just open up your heart to what God will say, just as Debbie just prayed. That's been my prayer as we were worshiping there for each one of us, that as we hear God speak, what he has to say in his word, that no matter who you are sitting in this room, no matter what age, no matter what anything, occupation, stage of life, would you just be open? Would your heart be open to what God would say to you and call for you? Can we all commit to that and just let God guide us? For God knows what he wants and what's best for each of us and for his kingdom. And so that's my prayer tonight. We are continuing in this series called Church Foundations, and I have absolutely loved it. It has been such a good time, and we are coming up on the halfway point. Next week will be our final week on the externally focused side. If you remember, we've been looking really at what a biblical church is, and it's made up of two things. Being externally focused, that's being missional, and then also the other side of being internally healthy, right? Caring for the internal health and the operations of the church. We've been looking at those two, but the first half of it, we've been looking at the external side, that we would be externally focused. And so I don't know if you have the graph with you, but we have it on the screen, I think, for the slides. So both sides are really important, the internal health and the care and the external mission of the church, but we've been focusing on the one side, that's the external mission lately, almost on the internal side. So stick with me, and those are going to be really good weeks as well. So far on how we can be externally focused, we've looked at really two ways so far. Firstly, we can be externally focused in our evangelism, that's our personal witnessing to other people, and we can be externally focused and missional as a church with our prayer life, as a church corporately as well as individually. These are two ways, two outlets, if you will, how we can be missional. Because oftentimes churches can say, we could say, we want to be a missional church. And then someone will say, okay, so how are you actually fulfilling that as a church and as an individual? Right, and so we don't have very clear definitions of what it looks like and how we accomplish that desire to be externally missional. And so we are saying there's four things in particular as a church that we're committing to, and we've looked at two of the four so far. Prayer is one of them, and evangelism is one of them. Today, we're going to be looking at committing to kingdom expansion. Kingdom expansion. This is one of the four practical ways in which we are saying, as a church, this is how we will be missional. So tonight, as we do that, I thought it best to really guide this sermon with four question words, okay? So if you're a note taker, we're going to be doing four question words of kingdom expansion. Firstly, what is kingdom expansion? We have to define it. What is it? Why we must talk about it, who kingdom expansion is for, and lastly, how does Scripture call us to kingdom expansion? What is it, why we must talk about it, who it is for, and how Scripture calls us to fulfill it. Okay, the four question words of kingdom expansion. I hope my note takers are happy with that. I'm not always that good. Firstly, what is kingdom expansion? Let's just talk about that for 1 minute. What is kingdom expansion? Well, when I'm saying we as a church are committed to expanding the kingdom of God in this world, firstly, and I think this one is the one that all of us have in our minds, and it's what we sung about, that we have a message to tell the nations. Kingdom expansion is, firstly, global missions. We're committed to global missions. This is one way of expanding God's kingdom to all the corners of the earth, because there is a global need, isn't there? There's a global need. Many statisticians guess that Christianity makes up approximately 30% of the world's population. And of course, that fluctuates. No one can really know exactly, right? But what's that tell us? Well, there's about 70% that really need Jesus. That statistic tells us that. There's a global need. I was looking at the IMB's website recently, and I shared this on Wednesday night. The IMB says that there's approximately 7,000, I say approximately and then I give you a very specific number, approximately 7,268, give or take, unreached people groups. That's not cities, that's not towns, villages, that's people groups in the world. Over 7,000 unreached, meaning that we don't have boots on the ground, Christians creating community for these people groups, over 7,000 people groups. And even worse than that, there are over 3,000 unengaged people groups. That is people groups, communities, that we have no current strategy to reach and to get people to them. Over 3,000 people groups. There is a global need. So the church should send missionaries because there's a global need. I think about Acts chapter 13. This is a very typical passage when we would think of global missions. It's the time when Barnabas and Saul are sent out. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene," and then I wrote this one down just to where I wouldn't mess it up, "but Manane, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." We keep reading, verse 2. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them out. And this was the start of Saul's," later to be Paul, "and Barnabas's mission." They would become missionaries that would travel multiple times all throughout Macedonia and doing missionary work. But this isn't the only way, I think, that we can describe or define what kingdom expansion is. Kingdom expansion is partly global missions and committing to global missions, but it's also church planting, expanding the kingdom close to home. And actually, this outworking of what kingdom expansion is exactly how Emmanuel Baptist Church started. Did you know that? This is an excerpt from our first business meeting, February 1956. 23 individuals met, and this is what they said. "Whereas there are 2,800 people in Bethany, and only 600 go to church on a given Sunday morning, there is a need for another Baptist church." So do you notice this? In the very heart of why Emmanuel Baptist Church started, at the very origin of it, in 1956, was this idea and this love for kingdom expansion. Not global missions, but kingdom expansion here in Bethany, Missouri, church planting. That also is how we would expand God's kingdom, knowing that there is a need for more people to meet Jesus. So the church should be involved in not only global missions, but also church planting. And I think of Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes to Titus, and he says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order, and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Okay, so he left Titus on Crete, this island, and he says, "I left you there for a reason, that you would begin appointing elders in towns, pastors to oversee people." He said, "I want you to create churches, church plant in this area." So when we say, what is kingdom expansion, it's global missions, but it's also local church planting. It's expanding God's kingdom, both locally and abroad. So that's the what, okay? That's the what. But now let's look at why. Why must we talk about kingdom expansion? Some might say it's a given, but I think it's not that we should constantly be talking about and pushing the importance of kingdom expansion. Because the reality is, I'll give you really two reasons why we must talk about kingdom expansion. Firstly, churches do a lot of things. It's one of many things that churches do. And it can get lost in the mix of so many things that churches do. And most, I can't speak for all churches and all the activities of all churches, but most, if not all, are really good things that churches do, right? I think about schools of music. I know churches that do that. Schools of music, daycare. They would provide daycare for people. Men's and women's ministry, small groups. We do the Christmas bags, right? This is a good thing. We have so many events, and churches host events, and there's conferences, and there's retreats that they offer, and there's selling merchandise. We have our own IBC sweatshirts, right? We have merchandise, and we have the mugs, and so we might have merchandise. There's community service. The list goes on and on. Churches do so many things. But as this says, there will always be good things that can distract from the Great Commission, right? There's so many good things that we can do. But kingdom expansion should be at the very top of the list. Spreading the name of Jesus. I think about a ministry that I was in years ago, and there was a lot of leaders within this ministry involved in it, maybe 20 people probably. So it was a large ministry I was involved in. And the leaders met. So we all got together, actually multiple times we got together to talk about, okay, let's hone in on what it is we exist for and what are we wanting to accomplish as this ministry. And so we were doing that, and we just kept talking. And some people would say, well, I feel like this is what we are. And we established, okay, we are this. And we established our mission statement, so to speak. And so then a few people over here would say, oh, well, then let's get rid of this ministry and that ministry and that ministry to really really focus in on and invest our resources into these few things. So they were saying maybe we get rid of these few good things to really invest in these great things. And these people were like, no, those are the good things. We should get rid of this, this, and this, and keep this and this. And no one could agree on anything. And after hours and hours and hours of discussion, nothing was eliminated, and all the good things were kept to where everything had the potential, at the very least, of only being done mediocrely, right? I mean, so everything's done, but there's so many good things, maybe nothing might be done. In a great way, there will always be good things that can distract from the Great Commission. They might be good, but the kingdom expansion must be at the top of the list of importance. That's one reason why we must talk about kingdom expansion. It's one of many things, but oftentimes these good things the church does are oftentimes internal care ministries, and preferred because they're self-gratifying for the church. We want to invest in these few things because they serve us. And that's why we really need to push kingdom expansion, because oftentimes churches might fall into the temptation of just doing what gratifies the church, what helps the church members. And this is why churches need to push kingdom expansion, the importance of external mission. Leaning towards doing things that are self-gratifying is human nature. We all want to invest our time and energy into things that will give back to us personally. But this is also a difficulty for the church. We often want to invest all our resources in things because it feels better to receive back the benefits of what we're doing. This temptation that we have, I think, just gives us all the more reason to have to push kingdom expansion to the forefronts of what we're doing. It doesn't benefit us internally right here at IBC to church plant and to do missions, but it's important. It's important. Alan Hirsch said, in so many churches, the mission of the church has actually become the maintenance of the institution itself. Let that not be us, right? Let that not be us. That our mission is just to maintain what's going on in here. But would we always push to the forefronts of what we're doing and what we're all about, expanding God's kingdom? We might not experience the benefits of all our efforts, but that is okay because God's kingdom is expanding. So that's why we must talk about kingdom expansion. Now, who are we doing kingdom expansion for? And I actually want to start from the bottom of the list. Why? I have three individuals, three groups of people that benefit kingdom expansion and why we should do kingdom expansion. Three groups of people, and I want to start from the least reason to do it all the way to the greatest reason to do it, okay? Firstly, we should do it for ourselves. That's the smallest reason, but it's a good reason. It's a very good reason to do kingdom expansion for ourselves. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? God has kindly invited us to join him into expanding his kingdom. He has lent us his hand and saying, come join me for what I'm doing in this world. And so when we invest into kingdom expansion and doing missions and growing the church, this is a blessing for you and I. This is an honor that we would be a part of, co-laborers with, partners with God. So we do it, the very least, for us. Acts 1:8. You know the passage, it's common. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So God is offering us partnership to do what he is already doing. He has said, you can be my vessel of what I'm already going to accomplish. I'm committed to accomplishing this. I will do it, but I want to do it through you. So who are we doing kingdom expansion for? Well, firstly, we're doing it. It's a blessing for us. We're doing it for ourselves. But more than that, more importantly, slightly more critical, is we do it for the lost, right? We do it for ourselves. It's a blessing to be partners with God. But we do it for the lost. We do it for the lost. Judgment is due for all who are lost. I prayed at the beginning of this service saying that we should be thankful for the cross, because without the cross, we have no relationship with God. We do it for them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This is why we do kingdom expansion. This is why we commit to it. This is why we invest in it. This is why we love kingdom expansion. It is not only for ourselves, but we do it for people that otherwise will face Jesus Christ one day and his vengeance on sinners who do not turn to him. We do it for them. Thirdly, we do it for those two, ourselves, for the lost, but most importantly, the greatest person why we would ever do kingdom expansion for, you know, it's for God. We do it for him. Yes, we do it that we would be blessed, that we would receive the honor of partnering with God. Yes, we do it for that. And yes, we do it for the lost, that they would not face the vengeance of God, but that they would be grafted into his church and they would receive mercy and grace, that they would have relationship with God for all of eternity. We do it for them. But ultimately, the greatest individual that we would do kingdom expansion for is for God himself, because God deserves all of creation's praise and all of creation's worship. Psalm 148, verse 3. This whole psalm is just about how God deserves praise and how he deserves all honor. It says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and your waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And it just continues going on and on. You could go all the way through verse 10. It's just God deserves praise. And if people won't praise, you and I know what will happen. The rocks will cry out, right? Luke 19:40. Jesus answered. He says, I tell you, if these were silent, he's talking about people, the very stones would cry out. Because why? Because God deserves praise, and he will get it one way or another. God deserves the glory from all of his creation, including people. God is a glorious God. God is a God that deserves praise. He deserves honor. He deserves awe. And so we do kingdom expansion for him and for his glory. And as Debbie said, one day he will receive it all. Every knee will, in fact, bow. Everybody will profess that Jesus certainly is King. It might be later, after he comes, and it's too late. But all knees will bow, recognizing his kingship over all things. Amen. Until that day, we will work, and we will strive, and we will invest that he will receive his glory. That's why we invest in kingdom expansion. We do it for ourselves, that we would be blessed and honored. We do it for the lost, for they need to know the name of Jesus. But we do it for God, that he would receive the glory he's due. Lastly, and this is really important, how does Scripture call us to expand God's kingdom? How? Well, Scripture calls us to, one, invest financially, right? I love this testimony of the church in Macedonia that Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He writes this letter, and in it, he is just praising the churches in the Macedonia area. He says, "We want you to know, brothers," he's talking to the church in Corinth, "we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." For, this is why God has just given them grace. For, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. He's testifying that the churches were under great hardship. They were suffering. They were being persecuted. In Macedonia, at this time, they were being persecuted. And yet, out of that pain and that suffering and the hardship, they overflowed what? Not bitterness, not self-preservation. That suffering and that hardship, that difficulty and that pain for the gospel, it didn't overflow bitterness and just a desire to just take care of themselves, every man for themselves. No, from that overflowed generosity. That they would give more to the kingdom, that they would invest into the kingdom. And Paul continues on talking about how particularly they invested and they gave generously financially for him and his mission. So God blesses his grace upon those churches in Macedonia for their generosity. So we are called to, one, invest in kingdom expansion through financial means. And I have been absolutely, let me just say, I have been absolutely blown away by the generosity of Emmanuel Baptist Church since I've been here. And I haven't been here very long at all. But man, just what, right, I came in here right at the very beginning. I just heard like weeks before, just within the first few weeks of being here, I heard about Lottie Moon. And these things aren't from my context where I was coming from, Lottie Moon or Annie Armstrong. I didn't know about these things. So I'm learning them, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. I'm definitely behind that, giving to a Christmas offering for missions. Let's do it. And so I committed to it, and I talked about it. All I did was I shared a video on Sunday mornings, and I talked about it for a few seconds before the sermon. And you have just abundantly just poured out, just like what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians. I just feel like that was Emmanuel Baptist Church. We overflowed generosity. It's just been absolutely incredible to see. So I'm excited for Annie Armstrong. But may we continue doing this. Would we continue giving financially with heart, knowing where it's going? One, it's allowing us to partner with God. Two, it's seeing sinners come to Jesus. And three, it's being invested into God, receiving the glory that he is due. And so Scripture calls us to invest in kingdom expansion through financial means. But for some, I want us to think about this. For some, though, giving money may be a way to hush that little voice of God that's telling them to go. Did you hear that? For some, and that might be you sitting in this room, giving money, giving a little extra money, another paycheck here and there, just saying this, just because we can give, we do it in order to hush that quiet voice of God telling us to go. Not to give more, but to go. We may submit to God and his lordship and give to him in so many different areas. But oftentimes we may face the reality that it's hard to give to him and to submit to him when it comes to moving away from family that we love. That's maybe for some of us really hard to submit to God to answer the call to go and leave family and loved ones, friends, a community we've known forever. That is a little bit harder. It's a little easier sometimes to write a check, right? I think back to when Sarah and I were dating and we were in Springfield. We were both at university, and I remember we were talking about just our future. We were just thinking about, well, when would we get engaged, when would we get married, where would we live, right? We're just still in school, just trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I remember it, and I know she does too, in Lewis parking lot, and sitting in her car, CRV, that thing was junk, but it was terrible. But we were sitting in that car, and we started talking about where we were going to live. And one of us was saying, I want to live near my family. I want us to move up to Kansas City, be near family. And the other one was saying, I want to travel. I want to see different places. I've always lived in that area. And so we were split on this decision. And I remember it got so emotional for both of us. We both wanted different things so passionately. It actually led us to almost break up. It was so critical to our relationship. It was. There was tears. We loved each other so much, but we just didn't know because we just loved our families. Both of us loved our families, but the other one wanted just to experience traveling around and going different places and not committing right now to forever of living right there in Kansas City. And so we were just really struggling through this. It's hard sometimes to commit to God or to commit to somebody moving away from loved ones because it's the people we love. But when God tells us to go, we go, right? No matter how hard that would be. And after school, we felt God was calling us to Evangel Temple in Springfield, and that's what we did. And we stayed away from family. I ended up living there for 7 years away from family. When God says go, as hard as it is, we need to answer that call, even if it means leaving family. Scripture doesn't just call us to giving financially, but how Scripture calls us to invest in kingdom expansion is finances, but also to send people in the church and to go personally as individuals. It tells us to actively go sometimes and to send individuals. What does this look like? Well, it means Emmanuel Baptist Church should commit to not only investing financially into global missions and church planting, investing in resources into seeing other churches grow up like Emmanuel Baptist Church did in 1956, but it also means sending the personnel if God would bless us with such individuals. I think about the church in Antioch sending Barnabas and Paul back in Acts 13 when we were just reading it, where God says, I set these two aside. Would you lay your hands on them and send them? And just think about it. Barnabas and Paul, they weren't people that didn't know anybody and they didn't have any roots grown. No, they had roots. They had family members. They had loved ones. And they had to go because God called them to. Titus, Paul says, I left you in Crete for a reason. Titus was a person who had loved ones, but he was called to a mission. To not just give another check, to not just financially invest, but to go. So I want to call you tonight to be open to following the example of Paul and Barnabas and Titus. I don't want us just to be a church that says we'll give more money. Amen, let's give money, let's invest financially, but the Bible says that's one way that we can give. I want us to be a church that's committed to always having an open heart to God saying, go, and us going. So I want you to just think for yourself tonight, is God calling me to that? To have an open heart for that. I think about a pastor that I listen to and follow. He just retired around the age of 70. And someone asked him, what do you think you're going to do now? And he said, well, if God calls me into missions field, I will. I'll go. He doesn't feel like he's calling me to do that right now, but I'm open to anything. Until my last breath, I will go where God leads me. Wouldn't that be our hearts? Wouldn't that be our hearts? Doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. Doesn't matter what your occupation is or how invested in your occupation you are. If God would call us, would we go? This is a big question for anyone to ask, but I'm asking you to consider. If God calls you to go, would you go? No matter what you have here in Bethany, no matter what you have here in the area, no matter how many loved ones you have, no matter how far you are in your occupation or how far along you are in life, if God would call you to go, that you would go. Would we be a church that's committed, every single one of us, to that? That's a big question to ask, but I want to ask you to consider that. Why I would boldly ask you to consider it, I want to read just two more things in the book of Ephesians. Firstly, you have been transformed by God. If you have a relationship with God, you have been transformed. You have experienced the greatest miracle that anyone could ever see. Paul says in Ephesians 2:12, you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and the strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That was your story. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, having been brought near by the blood of Christ, your story was that you were far from God, and Jesus has brought you near to Him. He's resurrected you spiritually. He has done an incredible miracle in your life. Therefore, it is a blessing to commit your life to telling others about such an experience. Paul says, after saying this in Ephesians chapter 2, he says in Ephesians chapter 3, if we go there, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to the light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who creates all things. God has done an incredible work in your life, transforming you, bringing you from death to life. What a blessing it is now to receive the grace of telling others about such a work of God. That's why I think it's reasonable for me to say, would you consider? So this is something that we should all think about and pray about as a church and individually. So as we're going into time of response, I want you to, firstly, each one of you, every single one of you, ponder, how could you be a part of expanding God's kingdom? I don't care how old you are, where you're at in life. I've said this before. I'm speaking to Sarah. I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to Debbie, Stephen, James, Ron, Dallas, Gary. I'm talking to all of you. Consider this. Think about it. Don't just let this brush over, but really think. God, are you calling me to more than just giving financially? If you are calling me to giving financially for the rest of my life, amen, I will do it faithfully. But what I never write off, maybe something else. So I want us to firstly ponder, how could you be a part of expanding God's kingdom? It's not an if question. We're all called to invest in God's kingdom and expanding it. It's not an if question, but how can you be a part of expanding God's kingdom? Yes, we as a church are, and we will as a church give financially, and we will, as we have individuals rise up, send those people. But the church is made up of individual people with individual commitments and personal decisions that have to be made. So I want to encourage you to ponder this thought tonight. How is God calling you to invest in kingdom expansion? And then after that, I want to encourage you to pray. Spend this time as we're about to sing. Pray to God. God, how would you have me used? And then as He speaks, and He stirs something in your heart, you might want to start praying, God, would you give me the strength to answer that call? That's something we're all called to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the blessing to be a part of what you're doing in this world. God, would you give us strength to invest into what you're doing, to do our part, to give financially, and to maybe even go and to send others, to lay hands on and commission people to go out and do incredible work, both here in Bethany, globally. that we would receive a blessing, that the lost would receive salvation, and that you would receive your glory. Help us, God, to be a church that is committed to kingdom expansion, to your kingdom expanding, God. We love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.